Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I visited Baker Sound Studios in Center City, Philadelphia to talk about music in political ads. Baker's president, Rick DiDonato, edits and mixes pre-existing music, and music director Chuck Butler composes original music. I first asked Chuck about his approach, and he began by describing the range of political ads.
There are certain types of ads that are fairly common, okay? So the broadest category would be positive versus negative. So we have positive ads for a candidate that generally talk about the candidate's message, sometimes the candidate's background or whatever, but it's not slamming another candidate. It's promoting a particular candidate, getting his message out, whatever. Then on the other side, we have negative ads where you're attacking some other candidate it doesn't have to be a candidate. It could be some political position or view or whatever, some piece of legislation or whatever. So positive and negative. But then within those, there are sort of subcategories. And there are some ads that combine both. Like some ads will start out attacking somebody for the first half of the ad as a negative and then switch to a positive about whoever the candidate that the ad is for or has been created by is. And then there are a lot of different,
From like a positive standpoint, yeah. It could be a positive can be very triumphant type right. Music, very big, or they can go very small, down home, country-ish, just a guitar, things like that. Right. And they're both positive, so it could be very different.
So what's the process? If somebody comes to you, can you just take us through it?
Well, for original music, it generally starts with me where, first of all, it moves very quickly, which is one of the things I like about working on political advertising compared to regular advertising, which tends to be a more drawn-out process. Political advertising tends to happen very fast. I get sent typically a QuickTime movie of the spot. And let's say it's a 30-second TV spot, and it would either be a rough cut that's pretty close to the final thing or maybe actually the final thing. Sometimes it'll have the actual voiceover announcer that's going to be used, or it might even have the director just sort of doing a scratch voiceover in there. So then I take a look at it, and often I'll have a conversation with whoever the producer of the spot is about what it is that they're trying to accomplish. It depends on how much I know about what's going on. So, for example, in this past cycle, I was working on Marco Rubio's ads until he dropped out of the presidential race. I didn't have to ask a lot of questions in that case because I had also worked on his Senate campaign when he ran for Senate, and so I knew very well what he wanted to convey in his advertising and his admiration of Ronald Reagan and what that said to me musically about what he was looking for. But also the people who run his campaign, I'd had enough back and forth with them during the Senate campaign to know what it is that they wanted and, stylistically where to go. And so, the more you work with a particular client, you sort of develop a shorthand about it. But if it was a race, in a market, let's say I was doing a Senate race or a gubernatorial race in some state, somewhere else in the country that, where I'm not hearing the advertising, I'm not as familiar with what's going on, then I might have a more in-depth conversation with the producer about, okay, like, what is this candidate all about? Who are they, what's important to them? What are we trying to convey? And that gets into a little bit about what Rick was talking about. Let's say you have a candidate who's running in Louisville, Kentucky or something. Well, do we want to have the music be sort of a country-ish vibe to it? Or is that sort of pandering? Is that the wrong message to go? Like maybe what we're trying to do, like somebody who's running for, let's say governor of Kentucky, well, we might not want it to be country. We might want it to actually sound very important and dramatic because that's an important position. And so the music might need to reflect that.
What demographic they're going after changes the music completely too. They might need to go urban if they want to go after the urban demographics, and then we have to change it that way. I think they get a little bit more specific with Chuck with the original music because, correct me if I'm wrong, they might even get into like certain instruments, what they want to hear and things like that, where our hands are tied a little bit more when we use stock music because it is what it is. It's not like we can, lower a certain instrument in there.
It's just,
yeah.
So could you pick an ad not from this election cycle as an example?
Sure. I mean, one ad that one that's interesting that maybe Philadelphia listeners might be familiar with is when Michael Nutter ran for mayor, the first time. The campaign had produced a number of ads that were fairly traditional ads, and then fairly late in the process, they produced and ran an ad called Olivia that featured Mayor Nutter's daughter. And that ad made a huge difference and really turned the election around for him. And we spent a lot of time, in fact, an unusual amount of time, fiddling around with the music on that ad to find the right tone for that ad. Now, the ad was a very upbeat, energetic ad. It had a lot of non-traditional graphics. It was sort of designed around, it was really his daughter was featured in the ad. And so there was a lot of debate about, you know, do we want the music to be what we think represents Mike Nutter, or do we think the music is supposed to represent his daughter Olivia, or is it some combination of the two? And I probably wrote four or five different pieces of music for that ad before we finally settled on the final answer that aired, which wound up being basically a jazz piece. And because we felt like that was the right blend, where the jazz vibe gave it the right energy for the spot, but also without sounding too much like it was something that would be on Nickelodeon or whatever. Like, we didn't want it to seem like it was for kids. It needed to seem like it was serious and for adults, but it also needed to be fun and playful and have this kind of energy. And so jazz was where we went that found the right balance between those two. Yeah,
it wasn't your normal political piece of political music either, which I think why it stood out too.
So you consider different styles.
Absolutely.
And do certain instruments convey certain feelings? Is it possible to say brass or strings gives you one sense, or it just depends how it's put together?
When you're trying to create this uplifting, inspirational, anthemic thing, then the soaring strings always works well. But a solid French horn is always great for like importance and seriousness. And a solo trumpet is very good for saying patriotism and sometimes, you know, nostalgia, that kind of thing. I mean, piano is always great to sort of give this sort of Americana sense or whatever. Certain instruments definitely convey certain kinds of things. I think it's more how the instruments are used in the context. And I think more about, to me, the bigger picture question of what is the right style of music for the ad. I mean, that's sort of the first step, you know. So it's like, is this supposed to be an orchestral thing, or is it supposed to be something out of the pop world, which might be jazz but might be sort of rock influenced or whatever, country influenced or whatever? Like, that decision I think is really important, and that's where, like, where Rick was talking about the demographics and so forth, like, that's where we really have to think about, you know, who is the audience and what are we trying to convey to that audience. And how does the candidate want to present himself or herself? You know, like, what is that candidate trying to get across?
And is it what you would think in terms of when you have a negative ad, you have more dark tones and minor chords and things?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
when I'm doing a negative spot, I'm thinking very much along the lines of, like, if I was scoring a horror film, or, you know, and what would Bernard Herrmann do in this situation? And, you know, yeah, it's darker and tends to be a lot more sound design. What I mean is sound effects, jail doors slamming and gavels, the judge's gavel coming down, and like those kind of things, and like trying to create a heightened intensity like you see in film trailers, for example. That's sort of the approach.
Right, or like a mysterious type sense. Sometimes that works too.
Although now, in the last couple of years, you've got this thing that they call neutral negative, right? What a lot of producers are trying to do now, because it's a funny thing, because people will say that they hate negative political ads, right? But then when they actually do studies, they find that the ads actually do move numbers. So despite people not liking negative ads, they do actually impact a race. And so campaigns continue to make them. But because there's a lot of negative feeling about negative political ads, they now have this thing that's like what they call neutral negative, where it's still a negative ad. They're still against something, but it's a softer sell negative. Like, the announcers aren't being quite so angry in their reads, and the music tends to be more newsy, informational. So like less of the horror movie, really tense stuff, and a little bit more of like almost a documentary-ish.
And they kind of just want the words to make it happen.
Right.
They just say, you know, read the words. You don't have to really push it. Just read the words.
Right.
And you don't have to go really negative on the music. So we say soft negative or neutral negative.
When you get the ad and you go to work on the music, are you working independently or are you going frame by frame with the ad?
My background is basically as a jazz piano player. And so what feels natural to me is to put up the spot and put up a piano sound and start improvising and finding what I think is going to be the right vibe. And I'm looking, I mean, honestly, I pay a lot less attention to the message because the message tends to be all the same for all these candidates on either side. It's all the same stuff over and over again. So what I look to...
What is it?
Well, it's you know... we're fighting for you, or we're making America great again, or whatever it is. You know, it's whatever they're selling, you know. And they're all selling the same stuff, just with different language. Anyway... So what I'm responding to more are the sort of the colors, like where the thing was shot, like whether it's shot outdoors or indoors, how fast the camera's moving, the edits, how fast the edits are going by. I'm looking for like where's the big moment in the spot that like we really are hitting the most important part of the message, whatever the message is, you know. And I'm sitting there playing music, improvising basically while I watch the pictures and looking for what I can do that's going to be the most effective to catch the big moments in the spot and sort of, I mean, really sort of help to tell the story. I mean, what I want the music to do is help the audience the first time they see the spot to help them understand what this spot is about and what they're supposed to take away from the spot. And the music has a wonderful way of creating its own emotional narrative to go along with whatever the narrative of the spot is. And so if I can get the emotional arc of the music to support the narrative arc that's going on in the voiceover or whatever, or the candidate talking or whatever that's going on, if I can get those two things to work really well together and coincide, then the spot gains an impact that it doesn't have otherwise without one or the other. The two work together, and then the audience, it makes it that much easier for the audience to understand what they're supposed to be taking away. So that's what I'm always trying to get to. And I think that's probably what Rick would say he's trying to get to. He just doesn't have as much control.
Right. And I pretty much just look at the, my first take is the script. I look at the script right away. And as soon as I see that, I kind of get some ideas in my head that of what music I think would work. And then the next step would be as soon as I hear the voiceover. And then... Also, you know, I mean, we're interacting with the producer or director who's producing the spot, and they might have something that they definitely want to hear and want to go in that direction, and then we'll try to find the best piece.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.